Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, the Feast of All Souls, when we commemorate all the faithful departed. May we join with each other in praying for their quick release from purgatory. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves this life will lose it, and whoever hates this life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So yesterday, I was dressed in white and gold and celebrating all the saints, especially the countless thousands upon millions upon Carl Sagan's billions upon billions, now trillions, of faithful lovers of God that are in heaven with God. Today I'm not wearing white, am I? The little options were white to celebrate the resurrection for all souls, violet, which is what I have on now, or black. Anyone remember All Souls Days in black, or funeral masses when you wore black? There's a few hands nodding their heads. I've never seen a black vestment. I'm too young. I think they're all missing somewhere. There's a few places they're coming back for the extraordinary form of the Latin Mass, which would still wear a black vestment today. We wear purple because while we prayed yesterday in rejoicing with all the saints in heaven, today we pray for all of our beloved dead who aren't quite there yet. Tonight's homily is on one of those Catholic mysteries, purgatory. How many people remember purgatory? I mean, not that you visited there, but, you know, it's been taught about it, right? I haven't visited there either, and I don't want to, Lord. We're here tonight so that we can kind of step past that and head right on into heaven. But here's some images to help you. The first comes from St. Theodore of Mostuwepsia, which is in Turkey. Was Macedonia way back when. And he had this vision of God pulling us toward himself. And we're a rope. Like, not a rope, a hawser, you know, that ties up a large vessel. It's huge. And the problem is, for some of us, our hawser has been lying in the water. And the barnacles have grown to it. And then some kelp. And maybe a sea urchin or two. And all of that other stuff. Or maybe we've even attempted to tie a knot in ourself through a grievous sin. The problem is the entrance into heaven is like the eye of the needle. All it fits through is the hawser, and only if it's clean. Purgatory is the process of pulling that hawser basically through that knot hole and scraping off everything that is not of God. Does that help? And we can do that in this life, right? As we shed past hurts as we learn to forgive, as our heart grows stronger for the love of the poor, all the things that Jesus did in his life, if we do those now, our hawser's clean and slides easily up into heaven with God. Okay, image number one. Image number two is purgatory as the mudroom at your house. How many people have a mudroom? Place where we take off our shoes, shed our wet coats, take off all of the grime of the day, especially if you've been out fishing or working in the garden. You have to have some place for those clothes to go because they don't go right into the living room, do they? No. I did that once, leaving little muddy footprints on Mom's brand new white carpet. Why she bought white carpet? Why? With four boys, why white carpet? Oh. The little muddy footprints were kicked out, along with the one who printed them. That's the second image. Purgatory is the mudroom for heaven. And until we're cleaned up and have taken off all of the grime that we've gotten ourselves into, right? This little muddy son had gone out and played in the mud. Well, we play in the mud when we sin. We play in the mud when we choose evil over good. We play in the mud when the things of this world seem more attractive and more pleasing and more tantalizing than the things of heaven. We still want to go to heaven, but that's way on the back burner. I'll get there eventually, right? None of us are dying to get into heaven tonight. Or are we? The only way to get there is to pass from this life to the next through death. Hopefully, we can take a lot of the mud off before we go. Those are the funeral rites, those are the last sacraments, you know, apostolic pardon and final confession and receiving viaticum just before you die. That's to get you through the mud room and on to heaven. Image number two. The third is purgatory as a place of taking care of unfinished business. How many of us have unfinished business? Things to do that we just haven't got around to. Well, you still need to get around to them. There's no getting into heaven without finishing. And maybe some images. You know, when I preach at suicide, I'd love to tell of the glory of God and the resurrection and the hope that God has and the love that God has for all of God's children. And yet suicide is a radical rejection of God's gift of life. Now, maybe they weren't in their best frame of mind, right? I have never met a suicidal person who said, you know, this is the best thing for me. It's not true, right? So I think God, in all of those mitigating circumstances, takes all of those in to tow. But he also says, you know, you got to do some unfinished business. And that's done in purgatory. In purgatory, you learn to love the life that I gave you. Or the couple who's considering aborting the child in the womb that has, well, some deficiencies. With all the new testing we can do, you can find out the sex of your child, the mental IQ of your child, as far as a zygote can manipulate that, but whether you have Down syndrome, etc. And I'm like, well, let me tell you about purgatory, where you're going to learn to love the life that God entrusted to you. Purgatory is where we learn to accept life as it's come to us, instead of pretending that there's another life out there somewhere that would be better for us. If God wanted you to have something different in your life, in fact, you would. God has given us all the grace necessary to make those changes today. Say, young man or woman, older man or woman, really needs to go to rehab for drug, alcohol, whatever addiction they might have. And they say, nah, I like the pleasure I get from these stimulants. I like destroying my family as I spend tons of money on them. I like breaking into people's homes and seeing what I can get just so I can feed my addiction. Now, they may not be actually consciously saying that, but they're making that choice, real, for sin, for brokenness. And purgatory is the place where you get to work out those unfinished businesses. You need to make amends for the destruction you've wrought in the lives of others through your alcoholism. Imagine a drunk driver who's taken a life. He wants to go to heaven with all of his being. Maybe he came to a conversion later in life and is enjoying the sacraments for the first time in the last few years of his life. And God says, "Welcome, my friend." You have to wait in the mudroom for a little while. We're not sure. God doesn't ascribe a particular time to purgatory. And I don't know if big sins need more purgation than little sins, right? I mean, sometimes I think I'm just weighed down by thousands and thousands of little sins that all need to be wiped away, right? Even one little barnacle stuck on the outside of that rope is not going to fit through into the kingdom. So a sacrament of confession regularly is a great idea. But having that first sense of wanting to live all for God will save us from that time in purgatory. Now remember, the time of purgatory is not a place of damnation, right? We can pray for the sinners in hell, but, well, it's not that they're without hope, but there's just no way out. The chasm between heaven and hell is huge, and no one, not even Christ, can cross any longer. He did that once at his death, and he went and emptied it. And, well, that really kind of peeved Satan, who had thought he had captured all of these souls for him. But now it's up to us to choose Christ in big ways, right? Through baptism, through regular celebration of the sacraments, but in little ways, in the smile we give to those in need, to the helping hand, to biting our tongue when we'd really like to tell someone off, because we're probably going to have to deal with that when we get to purgatory. Oh, all of the evil things I thought about others, Lord, I repent. There's a time and a place for it. You can repent today, right? Offer that all to Jesus in his wonderful love and let it be washed away. Or you can wait and get to it later when we all might see each other in purgatory.
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you, and have a great day.